Please remain standing this morning, opening your hymn books to 1 John chapter number 5. What did I say? Opening your hymn books. Open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. Amen. That's all right. Amen. God is good. God is good. I began a message last Sunday and was unable to finish it, and some people asked me to go ahead and finish it. And so this morning I'd like to give you the second part to last Sunday's message. Last Sunday I preached on the indictment of unbelief. The indictment of unbelief. And today, if you would please look at 1 John 5, either in your hymn books or your Bibles, whichever. And we're going to read verses 10, 11, and 12. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself, and he that believeth not God hath made him a liar. I don't want to make God a liar, do you? I want to believe what he said. Because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Father, speak to our hearts. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for already speaking to us. And I pray now that as we reason together, that divine truth will go forth in power. Holy Spirit of God, overshadow this place with your presence and with your power in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This morning I'll pick up and try to reason with you about this horrendous sin of unbelief. I'll begin this morning by addressing the nature of this sin. Those who are guilty of this transgression, who deny that Jesus is the Messiah, the promised Savior, the Son of God, when you deny that, John is saying that you're making God a liar. Amen. Out of heaven, God has declared, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." You remember the angels announced to shepherds on the hillside that a Savior was born in Bethlehem. And they rejoiced in the Judean skies that night. You remember the wise men came seeking he who was born King of the Jews. They knew something about a king being born. They knew something about the testimony of God's word way back over there in Daniel. John the Baptist, when he's preaching there by the River Jordan, said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And after Jesus was baptized and was coming up out of the water, the Bible said the Holy Spirit descended in the form of a dove and abode upon him. And not only do we have the Holy Spirit, and not only do we have the Son, but we have the other part of the Trinity as well, the Father present there when he says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Don't ever let anybody deny the Trinity to you. You have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all right there in the same passage of Scripture. And then again, when Jesus went up onto the onto a mountain, and Peter, James, and John were there with him, and he was transfigured before them. Two men came down and talked with him there. The disciples said, Moses and Elijah. Moses, who had been dead some 1450 years, way back there in the Old Testament, he was dead, had been buried, but yet there he was alive and talking to Jesus. There is life after death, church. Amen. But that's a witness of the Lord and a witness of Scripture, a witness of God. And as the Lord allowed them to see Jesus transfigured there in his glory, where his son, his raiment was shining as the sun in its strength, then a voice from heaven out of the cloud that said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. So time and time again, the Father has testified to the reality of his Son, Jesus. In Acts 2:22, Peter truly said at Pentecost, Jesus of Nazareth was a man approved by God by miracles and signs and wonders which God did by him. God has said in so many ways, this is my beloved Son. And if you say he is not, then you make God a liar. I think that's clear enough, don't you? And then there are some who deny his deity. Jehovah's Witnesses are one of these. They say that he was Michael, the archangel. And they deny the deity of Christ. But now over and over in Scripture we're told that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. The Word was with God and the Word was God. By him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Colossians 1:16. He's called in Isaiah, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Amen. The miracles which Jesus wrought, and especially his resurrection from the dead, is proof of his deity, the Father bearing witness that he is his equal. And when a man says that Jesus is not God, and the Father says he is, the lie direct is given about God the Father. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. The modern day cults deny Jesus is the Son of God, and they also deny his resurrection from the dead. They deny his doctrine and his teaching on that place called hell. In 2 John verses 9 and 10, John said, Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. And so when you deny the Trinity, when you deny the deity of Jesus Christ, you give the lie to what God has written and revealed. Some believe that their sins are so great that they do not believe they can be pardoned. Listen carefully. Listen to what God says, Isaiah 1:18. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Amen. Amen. But sir, you don't know what I have done. I reply, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. 1 John 1:7. But I've broken, preacher, every commandment. The Bible says in Isaiah 55:7, let the wicked forsake his way. And let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. You say, but sir, I just can't believe it. Then just stand up right now, where you are, and tell God that you can't believe what he said. say to him in the plainest language, O God, thou hast said that thou wilt abundantly pardon, but it's a lie. I challenge you to make that avowal out loud right now because you're making it in your heart. Do not deny that this is true. God says, I will and I can pardon, and you say, he cannot and he won't. Now, what is that but accusing the Lord God of being untruthful? Another will say, oh, but my heart is so hard. I cannot believe in the power of God to make a new man out of me and deliver me from the love of sin. And yet God declares in his word, a new heart also will I give thee, and a new spirit will I put within thee. And I will take away the heart of stone out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. That's what God says in Ezekiel 36:26. And verse 27 says, I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. That's what God said. But you say, well, I cannot believe it. I've heard people say this. I can't change. I was born this way. You ever heard people tell you that? I was born this way. That's why Jesus said you need to be born again. Amen. Amen. If you'll be born again, you'll have God's Spirit within you that'll desire to walk with God. You'll have the power of God then to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. You can deny that. You can say that that isn't true and that God won't do that. But then you call God a liar, you see. God says you can. And you say, I can't. That's your position. You're calling God a liar. You can be born again. You can be transformed by the mighty power of God. You can become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. I've had so many people to tell me, well, preacher, I just can't change. I can't give up the party life. I've had homosexuals to tell me, this is the way I was born. I can't help it. Yes, you can help it. You certainly can help it. You can help it. If you ever really do business with Jesus Christ and get truly born again, you'll have the power. You'll have transforming power. He will put his spirit in you and you will be a different person. Some doubt the willingness of God to save and to transform. They may tell you, well, I believe that the blood of Jesus Christ does blot out sin, but is he willing to pardon me? Listen to what God says. As I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, but rather that he turn unto me and live. Isaiah 53:5. Look what God did. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. Did you hear that? All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Do you hear what God is saying? Over and over again. In all sorts of language, in all kinds of ways, God gives us assurance that he delights in mercy and that he's willing to save. Now listen, if you say God is unwilling and Christ is unwilling, and yet the Lord declares that he is willing and Christ died to prove that he's willing, what then is your unbelief? Would you deliberately charge the Almighty God with perjury? Would you say that God is being untruthful with you? What could the greatest blasphemer out of hell do more than that? And yet that is what unbelievers have done and what they are doing right now. Oh, cries another, my ground for doubt is much deeper than that. I hear that God can pardon and regenerate and all that, and I believe it, but I don't believe it's for me. I don't think I'm one of the elect. What does God say? Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, let him come buy wine and milk without money, without price. But, preacher, I don't have any thirst. Well, listen again. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But, preacher, I don't labor. How do you make your living? Are you so lazy and slothful and irresponsible that you don't labor? My text includes every heavy burden man and woman under heaven are called upon to bear. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Listen again. Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come. Does that not invite every living person who's willing to come? And if you say, I am not willing, then there is where I must leave you. For you confess that you are unwilling to be saved. And the problem is really that you're unwilling to turn from your sin. You're unwilling to be reconciled to God. And that is exactly what I'm trying to prove this morning. You cannot believe because you simply are not willing to do so. On your head be your own blood. What more can I say? A person must be mad to choose to live for Satan over Jesus. And choose not to believe in Jesus Christ. A man must be mad to be willing to incur the flames of hell and the wrath of God forever. It's not for me to comfort you when you are in such a condition as that. If you choose your own destruction, then so be it. Jesus has said to his disciples, listen carefully. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Let me ask you, are you a creature? You say, yes, I'm a creature. Amen, I'm a creature. May not be a very beautiful, pretty, handsome creature, but I'm a creature. If the gospel is to be preached to you, then it is an invitation to you. And when you say, it's not for me, you give God the lie. He says, it's for every creature. How dare you say it's not for you? Why would you accuse God of mocking you? If any one of you should finally be cast into the prison of despair to suffer in hell the wrath of God, the accusation which will appear over your condemned cell will read, this man knew the gospel to be true, and yet he would not believe it. He would not receive Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. He was not man enough to take up his cross and follow Jesus. I pray today that stony hearts will melt before the cross of Christ, that you may receive him to be your all in all, your Savior. And you'd rather have Jesus today than the party. You'd rather have Jesus today than the drugs. You'd rather have Jesus today than the drunkenness. You'd rather have Jesus today than be out sleeping around, committing fornication, committing adultery, stealing, lying, and all the rest. I hope you love Jesus more than doing all that stuff, because if you love that stuff more than you love Jesus, then you're not going to give your heart to Jesus, you see. Here's one that says, well, I just can't see how that by simply trusting Jesus and obeying his command to take up his cross and follow him, I don't see how that will save my soul. My dear man, are you never to believe anything but what you can see? And how are you to see this thing until you've tried it? Here's a doctor. We may call him a physician, an MD. You go see him, he runs a test and he comes out and writes your prescription and he says to you, this medicine will heal you. You got a problem, but this medicine will heal you. And the patient says, well, I want to see that it heals me before I take it. That's real bright, isn't it? What would you say about that man? You'd say that man's a fool. Would you not? I would. Here's the medicine that will heal him, but he wants to see it heal him before he takes it. You must believe the gospel on the evidence that God has given, or your faith is not faith in God at all. Your faith, which is commanded in the gospel, is faith in the record which God gave concerning his Son, a faith which takes God at his word. If you don't believe the Bible, there is no hope for you. Amen. Believe then on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have believed God to be true. Refuse the record that God gave of his Son, and in essence you are saying, God, you are a liar. You must either believe God or make him a liar. There is no third option, and if you refuse the witness of the Almighty, you must suffer the consequences. Notice thirdly, the blasphemy of this sin. To disbelieve God is an awful sin. It was a mother sin, the door by which all other sin came into the world. The devil whispered into the ear of Eve, yea, hath God said. And that insinuated doubt opened the door to what came next. And that was the lie when Satan said, ye shall not surely die. That's giving God the direct lie. When she believed him and her husband joined her in that, our ruin was complete. Unbelief of God turned our race out of Eden, and in consequence, we are born into a world of suffering and heartbreak and death. Unbelief. Oh, the curse of unbelief. When the children were in the wilderness, journeying toward the land of Canaan, how is it that there were so many graves dug out there in the wilderness? And that out of 603,550 footmen, 20 years old and upward, who came out of Egypt, only two survived to go into the promised land. The inspired apostle tells us in Hebrews 3 and verse 19, they could not enter in because of unbelief. You go to Jerusalem today. Look around for the temple. See how fully the prophecy was fulfilled, that not one stone would remain upon another. Who destroyed that once beautiful city? Who burned her holy and beautiful house of God with fire? Who cast her down into the dust, and why? The palaces of David, the palaces of Solomon are nowhere to be found, and the plowshare has been driven over their foundations. Why all this? Why was the siege of Jerusalem the most bloody and horrible of all history? It was because the Jews rejected their Messiah and would not believe in the testimony of the living God. Oh, accursed unbelief. It spits its venom against a holy God who cannot lie. No wonder God abhors it. How can the absolute truth submit to being charged with falsehood? This great sin of making God a liar is a stab at God himself. It's to put him in the same category as Satan, who was a liar from the beginning. What is it that would surely provoke you this morning? If a person stole your goods, if he hit you or injured you some way in business, you might turn the other cheek, you might bear your suffering patiently. But when a man tells you to your face that he cannot believe you, you feel that insult rather acutely, don't you? I seriously doubt that anyone is content in being called a liar. Nothing stings like that. It is the unkindest cut of all. It cuts to the quick, leaves a permanent scar on relationships. But remember, too, this unbelief insults God on a very tender point. He comes to the sinner and says, I'm ready to forgive you. The sinner says, I don't believe you. God says, but I gave my only begotten son. He's died for you upon the tree to save sinners. Still, I don't believe you, God. What more can God do? Infinite grace has gone its utmost length in giving the Savior to bleed and die. God has laid bare the depths of his heart in the wounds of his dying son. And still he has not believed. Surely man reaches the climax of enmity in this. Nothing proves the utter depravity of man so much as this refusal to believe God. Here we are in the presence of God at this very moment. The Lord's looking into all of our hearts today. He knows if his Son, Jesus Christ, lives and reigns there. But in that heart of unbelief, your unbelief is saying to God, O God, maker of heaven and earth, I do not believe you. I do not believe the record you gave of your Son. I do not believe in your willingness to pardon sinners. I do not believe that you are ready to put away sin from every person who will receive Christ. You're not telling me the truth, God. You're lying to me. I don't believe Jesus will come into my heart and make me a new creature. Here's a man who said, I've been trying to believe for years, but I can't. Well, that's even worse. Imagine that if after I had made a statement, a man would declare that he didn't believe me. In fact, he could not believe me even though he wanted to. Now, I'd be grieved, certainly, and you would too. But it would make matters worse if he added, in fact, I've been trying for years to believe you and I can't believe a thing you say. What does he mean by that? What can he mean but simply this, that I am so incorrigibly false And so confirmed in my lying that though he would like to give me some credit, he just simply cannot do it. With all the effort he can make in my favor, he finds it quite beyond his power to believe me. And nothing I say will make him change his mind. But the truth is this. Men don't believe the truth because they don't want to. All this talk of trying to believe, that's just mere pretense. There is no text in the Bible that says try to believe. Acts 16:31 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He's the Son of God. He's proven it by his miracles. He died to save sinners, and you can be saved if you'll trust him enough to receive him as your Lord and Savior. He deserves your implicit trust. He deserves your childlike confidence. And when you refuse him these, if you refuse him, then you have maligned his character and you've given him the lie. 1 John 5:10, he that believeth not God hath made him a liar. Because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son, and this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. This is the true word of God. If you believe it not, then for you there is no hope of salvation. There is no hope of eternal life in Christ Jesus. There is only torment forever and ever in that place where believers do not go. In that place where God's children do not go. You'll notice the fate of the unbeliever. If a man continues to say he can't believe God, that Christ can't be trusted, what'll happen to him? I wonder what the angels think must befall that person who calls God a liar and impugns his character. The angels see God's glory, and with veiled faces they cry, "Holy, holy, holy." And they remember how much the Father loved the Son, and yet he made his soul an offering for sin and laid on him the iniquity of all of lost mankind. He loves us so much. Ask the angels what they think must happen to those who persist in denying Christ and calling the Father who gave up his Son for them a liar. As for me, I cannot conceive any punishment being too severe for that kind of unbelief. Only this I know, it's written, "He that believeth not shall be damned." May you never know what that means, but you will know it as sure as you're seated here this morning in unbelief, and you continue in that unbelief. God's not a liar. But if he does not damn the man who dies an unbeliever, he will be a liar. Depend upon it. God will do as he has said. He's declared, "He that believeth not shall be damned." If God does not keep his word, he may let you escape. But if he be true, he will cast you into that place called hell, and there is nothing else that he can do. The other day, a son said to a mother, "I don't believe in Jesus." And she gave him no answer but this, "Then you're going straight to hell, son. The Bible says you must be damned. There's nothing else to say. There's no hope for you. The Bible says he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." There's an honest intolerance about these words of our Lord. He doesn't stammer. He doesn't hold back. He doesn't say, "I fear some evil may befall you," but he says outright, "You will be damned. Nothing on earth or in heaven can save you if you trample under your feet the precious blood of Jesus. If you don't enter in by that door, then God himself will not open another." God's been pleased to empty out the infinite mercy of his heart into the person of his dear Son, and he cries, "Whosoever will, let him come. Take of the water of life freely." But if Jesus be rejected and God's record about him refused, do not look for any other help. Do not think God has another son that will die for you, another Messiah. It won't happen. You would not believe in him either if he came, if there was one. Do you think he'll alter the whole plan of salvation and the covenant of his grace to gratify one person's wickedness or unbelief? The last word I have to say is, he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. He did not believe the record that God gave of his Son. How is it with you today? This is the record that God's given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Do you believe? Will you receive him this morning? By faith, will you step out of your seat and come and act on your faith? And by coming, say, "I'm receiving Christ as my Savior this morning." With tears in your eyes and your heart breaking over your sin, I promise you, Jesus Christ will save you. Amen. Him that cometh unto me, he said, I will in no wise cast out. Will you come today? Are you sure you're a Christian? Paul said, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. You say, preacher, I made a profession of faith years ago. Well, did your life change? Did you begin to bear fruit for Jesus Christ? Are you walking with Him today? Have you walked with Him since? In that newness of life? A lot of people making professions today that don't really get saved because God did not get their heart. Oh, they didn't want to go to hell, and they made a profession of faith, but they did not give God the throne of their hearts. And because God, in the form of Jesus Christ, did not take His rightful position in their heart, He wasn't allowed to. And because He was not allowed to take that rightful position as Lord in that life, that person did not get saved. Jesus said, be many that'll say unto me, Lord, Lord. And He'll say unto them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Are you saved? Do you truly believe? Have you become a new creature in Christ? Answer those questions today. And if you have not become a true believer, believe today with all of your heart and be saved.